Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the next episode of The City Confessions. Today, we will be talking about money, finance, budgeting, all that good stuff, all that good adulting things. So today, I have Victoria Abayev. She is a wealth management associate based in New York. So I'm going to pass the mic to her. Hi, Victoria. Welcome. And please introduce yourself. Tell the listeners who you are, what you do, and what your relationship is with New York City.
Hey, Marianne. Thanks so much for having me on here. I'm super excited to be here and to connect with you. So a little bit about me. I am originally am from San Diego. I moved to New York 2 years ago, and I am a wealth management associate and a certified financial planner. And so essentially what I do is I help clients navigate their wealth aligned with their values. And a CFP makes sure that all decisions are made in the client's best interest with virtually no conflict of interest. And it's our job to eliminate conflict of interest, or at least present a potential conflict of interest to a client before giving recommendations.
So curious, how did you get into this? What was that moment like when you were like, I really like finance, or I really want to help people with their financial like journey? Or
so honestly, when I was in high school, ready and applying to colleges, I was on the pharmacy track. I was on health sciences, and I actually got accepted to St. John's University for like a faster pharmacy degree, kind of a fast track pharmacy degree. And I was ready to go to New York and do it. But at that time, I was at an unconventional high school that required internships, which is actually really great because it really like opens your mind and you kind of get some field experience before really going into a major. But I was still set on health sciences because I was volunteering at a hospital in the pharmacy department and other departments. And I really loved healthcare because really I just wanted to help people. But my volunteer hours at the hospital were no longer counting for the internship requirement. So I found this small office to intern at, and turned out to be a small financial planning practice. And I had no idea what finances were beyond like, you know, money and saving and, you know, really like high level things that you know from a young age. And I was really lost as to what this was. I was just trying to get my hours and go. But my former boss took me to her financial literacy courses at the YMCA women's shelter, where she actually had to stay sometimes because she was in an abusive relationship herself. But this women's shelter had an opportunity for her to give back, and she was providing financial literacy courses for women that were not only emotionally and physically abused, but also financially abused, because if the man was in charge of the finances, they were lost because they were dependent on the man. And so she taught financial literacy courses. She herself was a CFP, or is still a CFP, and introduced me to this wonderful profession. But until I went to that financial literacy course with her, I did not understand the impact of knowing financial literacy and how important it is for your life. And just like the really small things that we think we know, but knowing all the rules and everything around that, it's so important. And so I saw in a few short months, these women become more knowledgeable in their financial lives, take control of their lives and their financial lives, and be able to get out of these abusive relationships because they were no longer financially dependent. And it was so amazing to see this growth and how this knowledge can impact people. And so now that I understood more of what my boss was doing for business, she was really talking to me like, why do you want to be a pharmacist? And asking me like, are you sure you want to, you know, pursue this like 6-year program? And then she kept telling me San Diego State had a financial planning major, which is very rare. A lot of universities have finance majors, which is a little bit more corporate. And so she kind of nudged me in that direction. And I decided to not accept the offer for the pharmacy school. And I went to San Diego State to have to get my financial planning degree on my way to get that CFP. And I thought, you know, even if I don't work in financial services, at least this knowledge I can help my friends with, my family with. So I thought, you know, I'm just doing this major. And so since from like high school, I was actually 16, I started, you know, I was first an intern and then I kind of worked my way up. And I was in the industry and it really, really opened my eyes to a really great profession.
I love hearing that because I think that's what it really is. Like I feel like personally, I have a healthy mindset and relationship when it comes to money. And I know that that's not the case for everybody, but I have shifted my mindset to a more, you know, like abundance. And I view money as just a vehicle, right, for opportunities. And money is energy and all of that. And it's definitely easier said, you know, said than done in terms of truly adopting that mindset. But it really is equivalent to freedom. And I think that's from what I'm hearing your story in discovery of this field is that that's what it provided, especially for these women who unfortunately were not in the best, you know, relationships and circumstances. It really is freedom. Like money is freedom. So I guess let's dive into that. And what are some misconceptions you think people have when it comes to just like managing finances? And let's like bring it into like millennials.
Okay, sounds good. So I agree with you in that money is freedom, but knowledge is also power. So it's not even having the money, but it's like, how do you deal with the money? You know, how do you navigate it? And, you know, what steps are you doing to protect yourself today and in the future? So I think there are a lot of kind of misconceptions sometimes, especially when it comes to investing. I think a lot of times I hear a lot of like millennials our age will say, well, I'll invest later, like when I have more money. It's actually better to invest a little bit today than a lot tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but like, let's say when you're 40, 50 and you have like a big lump sum to invest, it's actually better to do little by little because the power of compounding interest is really amazing. And you could take really small steps and really small investments and actually get it in it to the market at different price points. And it may not be a lot, like, you know, even let's say $50 a month, that's not a lot, but over time it'll grow. And, there's also, it's not even just investing, but which vehicles to invest in. Like there are different types of retirement accounts. And so right now, a lot of people are, let's say on Robinhood or other trading apps, and they're just in their individual name. And so that's called a taxable account. But also there are a lot of benefits from a retirement account. So like knowing, like for example, a Roth, IRA is individual retirement account, or even your employer sponsored plan. I know some people weren't even, so I work in a wealth management firm and we had a conference that was held for the whole firm. And we had this one course breakout session that was on personal financial literacy and financial planning. And a lot of people weren't even contributing the max, not even the max, but the max.
The minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah, to get the company max. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they thought, oh, I can't afford it and this and that. But really, again, taking those small steps every 2 weeks, you'll get there, you know? And it doesn't have to be, if you can't afford all of that, that's fine, you know, but just taking the steps to at least get the employer match. I mean, that's free money. So things like that. And also budgeting, I think we all can say that we don't have the best handle on our finances every month because things change, things come up, but having a general guide as to like, okay, I really want to aim to spend on X or to spend X on whatever is really important, and kind of being real with yourself and real with your spending and really what you want to be spending on. Because a lot of the times we have like subscriptions. Today is like such a subscription-based economy, and everyone has a lot of subscriptions that they don't really use, but it's nice to have. And it's like, do I really need that? So, you know, things like that. So making sure if you do go on those like free, like 2 month free plan, and then it starts subscribing, make sure to cancel it if it's not really doing anything for you. But we kind of get lazy and forget, or we just want it to be there. And it's just a lot, there are a lot of moving parts. It's really hard to be on top of everything. And really my biggest thing is you can't do everything, right? But you can do little steps to get there. So there's a quote that I really like. It's called, it goes like, we should live as though our life would be both long and short. And that was said by Bias, who is a Greek sage and writer. And I actually was exposed to this in my high school, that like one high school program I was in. And it was really, it spoke volumes to me because we want to live in the present, but we also want to make sure that we have a future, you know? So like our decisions that we make today, we should definitely like seize the day, you know, c'est la vie for sure. But we also should think about in the back of our head, in the back of our minds, to set ourselves up for success, because YOLO for sure. But also with YOLO, it's like, it may be a very long life. So you want to make sure that you're setting yourself up for success and whatever success looks like to you and whatever feels right. So I think I would say those things for the misconceptions.
Yeah. No, I love that, because actually I think you just shed light on such an important, not only topic, but struggle that many millennials or just people in general might be going through. And I love that you brought up like the YOLO, because I always say YOLO responsibly, because the way I view, you know, life is literally, I guess, you know, the quote says it better than I could have said it myself. But I do sometimes struggle with living my best life. I think we should all be living our best lives, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. And that's going to be different for everybody. But I, just my personality, I'm definitely a planner, and I'm definitely also the type to experience anxiety if there are certain steps that I haven't taken, or I guess like, how do I say, security measures, but you know, in that security sense, I want to feel secure in my future. And that's just me. That's just like how I operate. So I feel like sometimes I struggle, because there was a point when I was just like save, 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 save. And I literally wouldn't spend any money on myself, never, you know, pampering myself and all of that. And now that I'm getting older, I'm realizing what is life then, right? You can't just work, 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 work. And sometimes I feel like America and New York itself is so rooted in that concept, whereas I sometimes feel like the Europeans are doing it correctly. Because what is that other quote? It's like, we live to work and they work to live. Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah. And I think it's so true. Like, I think it just comes, it really talk, I don't know. I feel like the concept that I keep hearing is balance. It's like trying to find that sweet spot of enjoying life, but also, again, like being responsible and planning, because life is so unpredictable. So you don't really know. And I guess I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Like, for somebody who wants to save, but they also have the mentality of, well, this is my life and I want to make the most of it.
Yeah. Well, I think I personally struggled with this as well. I think being, you know, younger in our careers, we want to prove ourselves. And so then we kind of like, sometimes we can overdo it. Right. But, sometimes we don't treat ourselves because we're like, okay, work, we have to save or whatever that may look like. And I've actually recently come to the like realization that it's better to live today as well, because you never know what the future holds. So make sure that you are enjoying and that you are scheduling whatever it is that you want to do and, you know, allocate your resources to that. Like, let's say you wanted to do music lessons and, you know, if you want to wait until you're like 50, you may not even have the time, or maybe something comes up. You know, it's like, if you have the opportunity, like, do it. And I think in the beginning of the pandemic, we were all like, oh, like, going to do all this stuff, you know, because now that we're working from home, we have all this time. But I think the just being home all the time has in a way made us more like, I wouldn't say lazy, but just more comfortable at home and not wanting to like do all those things. Like, I signed up for so many things at the onset of COVID. I signed up for like these Yale classes from Coursera and like and you know, I kept getting emails from them and I'm like, what? I didn't even sign up for this. And then I realized I did, but I was just signing up for so many things because I wanted to like maximize my time. But I think the fact that we weren't really breaking apart our schedule because we were always home, it was hard to like do that. Because when we were going to work into the office, like after work, before I came home, I would do something, you know, and that kind of shifted a little bit. And I think if you really want to do something like, and it's feasible, do it. But also think about things that you can put off, but also think about what you don't want to put off. Like, there are some people that have worked their whole lives and didn't travel until retirement. At that point, you're like over 65. Is it the best time to be traveling? You know, like maybe you have health conditions. Maybe you just don't have the energy you did in your 30s and your 20s and 30s, you know? So it's like, you can't put everything off. And I remember hearing when I was first joined the current company I am at now, it's called Experient, one of the partners there mentioned like the millennials got it right. Like, they're not waiting till 70 to have fun. They're having fun now, you know? And it's true. Like, we can't completely hold back, but obviously sometimes we can't do things because, you know, they're out of our budget or out of our they're just not feasible today. But that doesn't mean you can't do what you want to do. So, like, I think when we make our budgets, it's like you think about what your needs are, what your wants are, but also like what you can do today versus what you can do later. And it's always hard because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. But I just try to keep that balance and not only spending, but your values.
I feel like even hearing you speak about that, I'm like, oh my God, it's true. Like, there's definitely things I think on my list. I mean, even though I'm a person to kind of take life for what it is and just go for it. But I think a lot of people who might even be listening just need that push sometimes and just need to be, sometimes I feel like when we hear others speak about it sometimes, then we finally internalize it and then we recognize that, wow, that is actually also an area that I should act on. Because until we actually just do it, right? I mean, I don't know. I think I also read another study going back to what you were saying. I don't remember how old these people were. Maybe like in the 70s. It was like a study. It's so bad because I don't even have the name of it. But the whole conclusion was that they surveyed X amount of, you know, elders who were around 70 to 80s, and like, what was their number one biggest regret? And the overarching or overwhelming response was that they weren't living life for themselves, and they were constantly trying to either subscribe to society's rules of what success is, or answering other people, or like putting other people before their own happiness. And that really resonated with me, because we know that we only have one life to live. I mean, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And we know that this is our own journey. But I think we sometimes, I don't know, like are so programmed to run on autopilot that every single day just seems to be the same. And then before you know it, you're like X amount of years old and you're like, whoa, what did I do with my life? Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm just having like one of those moments right now. But I don't know. I think it's so important to reflect and take time to just sit down with yourself and truly ask yourself, like, are you happy? Are you doing everything that you want? And like, are you making the most out of this beautiful, you know, life that we all have? So with that being said, I would love to ask you, throughout your journey so far, when have you felt the most proud?
You know, before I answer that, yeah, I wanted to just touch on the two sides of money. And there is a technical side and then there's an emotional side. And so even though saving X might help you get to your financial goal, it may not feel right to you, but it also may not be aligned with your values. So that's one thing that we do, is we really balance that with clients and first understand their qualitative needs, like what they want, and their needs are and what matters most to them. But then afterward, you know, we look at the technical side. So like the actual like income and expenses, whatever, you know, assets, and see how that we can make that work. Because like you said, it's all like in the beginning, you said money is so personal. And so understanding that the balance of what you want versus what makes sense is really something to help, you know, that we help clients with. It's actually really rewarding to see. When we first meet with clients, it's like, what matters most to you? Like, let's look at all these slices of life that are in your life right now. And how do you feel about each slice? Like whether it's philanthropy, your social life, your spirituality, your fitness, like everything. And then that way you can really fund your best life, right? Because then you know where you want to allocate. Like, this is where I'm spending, but maybe I need to really be spending down here to fulfill this need. And so I think that's something that we have to constantly assess. And it's, and you said it like just now, but where are we in life? Like, are we living our best life at this moment? Are we going to be 80 years old and thinking, wow, I wish I did that? You know, mm-hmm. Because we have to have that forward thinking look that, you know, we have a future ahead of us. Like, let's just do what we need to do today for us. So I guess to answer your question about what's my most proud thing in my career, I guess two things. So first, when I was in when I was first at my first company I was with, at 16, I was, you know, just interning, trying to soak up all the information. And then there was a college grad looking for a full-time job, and he was already working there. But I was able to, cause I was working really hard. I was able to just, they wanted me to take the job and not give it to him, just because, it maybe wasn't a good fit, but I was really, you know, proving myself. And I feel like that was really cool. Like at such a young age, to be able to like understand like I was assuming like, you know, at a younger age, I'd be like in retail or something. So this was more of like an adulting job. So it really taught me a lot. And it was really great. And then, that set me up for success in, you know, in the industry, going forward, and just taught me like a really cool workplace environment that was more of a family feel and not like the corporate things that you see, on TV that sometimes don't seem so appealing, you know, like the kind of doggy dog world. Another thing that I'd like to highlight is I got a core value award at my current company, and it was really great because I've been there, I'm on my fourth or fifth year. But I got it during COVID and right, as I moved from the San Diego office to the New York office. And that was a big transition for me because not only with work, but personally, I had a lot of change going on. I had just gotten married and moved cross country. I was born and raised in San Diego my whole life, so I never really lived anywhere else. And so it was just a lot of change all at once. And my coworkers were really supportive and really helped me, you know, achieve my like best work because I felt so supported. And so it was really, even though it was difficult, they helped support me and help me get there. So I think it was really a really great thing.
Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, I am curious to know what has been your biggest struggle and when have you felt the most challenge?
So one of my first struggles was understanding where I want to be after graduation, at college graduation. And I had an internship at an insurance company, and it was not a good environment for me. And it really opened my eyes to a different side of the industry that I wasn't really used to. And it challenged me because it was a whole new environment. It was a different landscape and just everything was different. But I also learned that I didn't want to be in this part of the industry. So I was able to, you know, it was challenging, and I was able to grow from that. But also when I graduated, I didn't pass my CFP exam right away. So that was difficult. I had just started a new job, and I didn't pass it. So, you know, just having that looming over your head all the time until the next time, it's a difficult test. And I remember when I was taking it, I second guessed myself the whole time when I failed the first time. And then my boyfriend, my now husband, my boyfriend at the time was like, you know, don't second guess yourself. And he was supporting me and making sure I was doing the right test taking skills and, you know, putting in the right hours to study. And I was able to prevail the second time I took it. But still it was a lot of pressure. And then I guess third would be when I moved from San Diego to New York. A lot of changes all around personally. And there were times where I was getting sick quite often. And I was trying to like work through it and kind of work from home when I was taking a sick day. And it didn't give me the best image. And I think some people thought I was not being reliable. And I didn't realize the personal struggles I had with moving and kind of having like a different personal life, completely went from single to married. Well, not like single. I mean, we were dating for a while, but, you know, not living together to getting married and moving cross country and just all these personal changes were really affecting my work. And I didn't realize it. I just thought I was just doing my work, come in, and no one really knew anything, but it really affected my work life. And my manager sat me down and, you know, had a talk with me, and it was a little emotional because I didn't understand that my personal life was, you know, like once you don't have your personal life in order, it really can affect your work life. But I didn't think it would. And I didn't even think it was. And so just being real and saying, okay, these are the steps I need to take to like make this challenge work for me. And, it was there were a few lower points that kind of, you know, we take and we grow from, and then we blossom.
Absolutely. I always feel like when, I don't know, sometimes I welcome challenges because I feel like that's, like you said, that's where we grow. That's where, like, we need those challenges. We need those low points to then be able to level up. Mm-hmm. So in this current moment, I want to ask you, what keeps you up at night? I mean, literally, since we live in New York, or just metaphorically, is there anything that's stressing you out in this current moment as we are recording?
In this current moment, not really, because this probably is not the answer that you're looking for, but I'm just really right now go with the flow. I have 2 more months in my New York apartment. I don't really know where we're going to be yet because my husband just graduated, and depending on his next steps, we might be somewhere, you know. And at first I was really like looking at apartments all over and trying to like make stuff happen. And then I just realized so much is out of our control at this moment that I'm just going to take a step back, and relax and just try to enjoy this moment just because I know I have a limited time and figure things out when I actually have concrete answers. Like, I feel like we try so hard to plan things out. And then, you know, like there's that saying, like, God laughs at plans, or like we plan, God laughs, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's, you know, like the universe always has something to like throw, you know, and it's good to be planned, like to think ahead. But I also, it's so important to be present and just kind of go with the flow. And some things you can't really control. I'm, you know, I have a job. I'm grateful that I have a job, and that's the way I look at it. It's like, you know, like we'll figure things out because right now we're just going to plan a ton and I'm not going to know anything until, you know, August. So I'm just trying to just be in the now. But if you asked me this like a month ago, I would have been like, oh my God, like, I don't know where I'm going to be, you know? And that was definitely keeping me up at night. Cause I just, you know, I wanted to make sure that we had a place to live after, August, and I think everything will work out. And also we weren't sure if we were going to move somewhere, and it was just like stressful because I feel like I just settled into New York and I'm, you know, my New Yorker and I'm loving New York life. But then now it's going to be another kind of change where I have to like adjust to. But again, that is life and that's how we grow. But yeah, I was just really trying to control the situation for so long, and now I'm just like over it, you know, and just letting things happen the way they need to and in the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, no, this, I can relate so much because, I mean, by the time your episode airs, it will be in July, I believe. But currently, as we're recording, I'm supposed to be out of this apartment in the end of the month. Do I know okay. where the hell I'm going to be? Absolutely not. And maybe a month ago, I was stressing, and everything you said is what I'm truly believe in. Like, there's no point of forcing things to happen. And I, you know, I think when I say that, it's like, okay, you still have to be proactive. But I feel like sometimes, I don't know, like I want to have control so much. And I spoke uh-huh. about this in my first, you know, episode for season 6. But it's one thing I'm learning to kind of sit back and release a little bit of that control, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes it's us, like we're the ones stressing ourselves out. And when we take a step back, it's like, actually, it's not that serious. Like, life is so much bigger, or oftentimes it's much bigger than the problem at hand. Mm-hmm. And it's really all about perspective. So yes, girl, I am with you on that.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Good luck with your move. I'm sure it'll work out. Yeah. Are you looking to move into a different part of the city, or what's going on with that?
I'm struggling with two scenarios. So I am currently looking. Obviously, I should be looking. I do love Brooklyn. Brooklyn just has a special place in my heart, even though I have spent most of my life in the city. So I am looking for apartments, but my whole thing is I'll know when I know. I feel like that's like love. Mm-hmm. But when I step totally. Into an apartment, I can tell if it's for me. Like, it can be nice, but if I don't have that like gut feeling, then I'm not going to just sign. Especially, you know, signing a lease is a commitment. Like,
oh yeah.
I mean, you can get out of it, but I don't want to – like, the moving itself is just so annoying and stressful. Totally. So there's that one component of, you know, let me be open to finding a place that is going to be just great for my growth in the next year. And then my other – where my mind is at is also maybe I should just take the summer off and travel a little, because I can do that. But I guess it's not even holding me back, but again, I love being secure. So I feel like I want to have like a home base, because I feel like I can still have a home base and still travel. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I can't travel, I don't have a home base, but it'll just make me feel more, I don't know, like grounded.
More knowing secure,
that yeah, and like all my stuff. So I don't know. I'm going to just let the universe do its thing. And yeah. I'm sure I will figure it out.
Nice. Yeah, I hope everything works out for you. I know it will.
Thank you. Okay, so I want to bring it back to you, and we're somewhat wrapping this episode up. So my question is, if you can share a confession, Victoria, what would it be? And let me preface this by saying that there is no judgment. There's no rules or requirements of like what constitutes as a valid quote unquote confession. It's however you are receiving this question. And it can be something on the surface, something deeper. It's whatever you want to share. So, Victoria, what is your city confession?
Yeah, so there's another quote I'd like to reference, and it goes like this. You can do anything, but you can't do everything. And the first time I saw this quote was on a Dove wrapper, you know, like if you, that's the Dove chocolate. And I remember when I first saw that, I like pinned it to my wall, and it's like, that is everything I needed to hear, because I was all over the place, always trying to do more than I probably had energy for. But just because I had either FOMO, or I just really wanted to get that experience, or, you know, I just didn't even want to say no. So I was just like way overbooking myself and just doing it all, and realizing that that does not create quality for those experiences, because then you're just so scattered that you're not like focusing in. Sometimes you have to leave early from an event or come a little late because of like overbooking or just overcommitting. And or maybe you're not producing the best work, so you just have to like get it out. And so that's something that I really struggled with, because I always wanted to do more and more. And knowing what, you know, like being more focused and saying, okay, like this is the path I'm going to go, and I'm going to say no to some things. That's really helpful, like professionally, like, but you know, for me also really personally, because when I moved to New York, I was like, yes to everything. And, you know, also I just got married. So a lot of me time was like taken away from me that I wasn't used to. And I stopped really, having any me time. So I realized, you know, that was affecting me. And so since I wasn't taking the me time, I was not really in a good place, because I was like constantly stressed, or constantly like feel like I didn't do enough, or wasn't really tending to myself. And so from that quote, I just see like that we should always think about tending to ourselves. And yeah, we can do anything that we put our mind to, but we literally can't do everything. And most importantly, we just really have to do you, right? Like do me, and just tend to yourself and take that time so that you're not underwater, so that you're not struggling. And whatever that self-care looks like, you know, it could be talking with someone, it could be going on a walk, but making sure you tend to yourself before, you know, you do everything. And then next thing you know, it's not the path that you want to be on, or you're just not really saying yes to yourself, but you're saying yes to everyone else. So say yes to yourself. Definitely take me time at least once a day, like at least 15 minutes. You can totally always find time. And, you know, so that's my city confession.
I can relate to that. And I also feel like that quote reminds me of another quote. And it goes along the lines of like, your no is just as powerful as your yes. And when you say yes too quickly to things without, you know, honestly taking a step back to see whether or not you truly want to do something, you're also taking away opportunities that may not be present at that moment. Mm-hmm. And there are times when, you know, you can say, let me get back to you, you know, or I need some time to think about that. And I have been there before as well, just being like, yes, 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 like I want to do everything. And even if it's, you know, good things, right? Like, let's say being there for our friends or whatever the case is. But sometimes we have to check in with ourselves to really find out whether or not it is, you know, if we have the energy and the bandwidth to be present in those moments. So, yeah, I love that you share that.
Yeah, it's really important to just, you know, say yes to yourself. And that's something, you know, as we get older, we learn, but especially in transitional times in our lives, it's so easy to just forget about ourselves. And yeah, I hope that we can always just strive to remember to take care of ourselves and to prioritize, you know, our self-care and our needs, you know, over everything else, especially when it's like a difficult time. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, it's like, honestly, if you're not like 100% recharged and fulfilled internally, like there's no way you can show up in the world being the best version of yourself. So
right.
That's such a good reminder for everybody listening.
I would like to take a moment right now to just send you gratitude for not only saying yes to being a guest on my podcast, but showing up and being present. You know, we spoke a little bit about this throughout the episode, but I think it's so, so, so important to also appreciate not only what you have, but the people around you and the people who say yes to you, because that is something that I think sometimes goes unnoticed. And yeah, I just want to take this moment to just say thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being so patient as we navigated through, again, technical difficulties. Because I mentioned in my other episode that I had it as well. So yeah, and right now is your time to plug away. So I am going to have all of your information in the show notes. But are you working on anything that you would like to tell the audience? What can the world be on the lookout from you, Victoria, in 2021?
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to meet you. It's a pleasure to speak with you. And I know that we're connected now, and hopefully, you know, one day we'll be able to see each other in person and just keep, you know, keep our connection going, or keep being connected. And I guess for 2021, I just want to be more present in for myself and do what I need as self-care, but also help my friends navigate their financial questions. And I may have a social media page, an Instagram page about financial wellness. So that may be coming down the pike. So if so, definitely follow for some tips.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And then I have one more final question before we wrap it up. Okay. What is the one thing you love most about yourself?
Oh, about myself. That's not something that you get asked every day. Exactly. I thought you were going to say, what do you like about your career?
No, I need to bring it back to you, and I want to end on a high note.
Okay. I love that I have an attitude of gratitude, and that I try to see the best in people and just want to help and spread positive energy to the world.
Okay, so with that being said, I feel like that's a perfect way to wrap this episode up. I hope everybody who's listening learned a thing or two, and feel free to follow Victoria for more advice, tips. She is probably the best person to go to when it comes to finances. And Victoria, again, thank you so much for being on.
And thank you for having me.
Of course. I hope you all have a beautiful, beautiful day, and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right. Bye.